Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I am the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation, Chris Bisignano. Chris, before we get into the Redskins game.
Washington football team.
Oh my God. Guys, that's a habit. You know what? I almost feel like starting over again, but let's just keep going. You're right.
Some people on Twitter are very upset. Don't call them the Redskins.
The Washington football team. My bad, guys. Before we get into the Washington football team, you're doing these film breakdowns, and they're excellent, right? There was one, all right? There was one that stands above the rest. It is the first place prize of film breakdowns, and it was titled perfectly, "What the Hell Is This?" Now, growing up on South Cook Avenue in Trenton, New Jersey, watched every game with my father and sister. And I can't tell you the amount of times, Chris, that my dad would say to me, "I think our guys just run out and turn around." Now, I don't want to argue with my dad during the game. It's our 3-hour time together. No matter how much we disagree on everything else as a teenager and he's a dad, this is our 3-hour time together. I'm not going to argue with him. I just would say, "Yeah, I don't know, Dad." But I would think it's not that easy. Well, Chris, you showed beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is the case sometimes. And I think you captured the spirit of every father and grandfather. And I know you didn't mean to do this. In the every Giant fan around the world in one tweet when you said, "What the hell is this?" And then you went on to talk about the 5 receivers that went out and simply turned around. I thought it was one of the best I've ever seen. And that's from anyone. I felt like I laughed. I cried because it's my team. It has 27,000 views, and I've got to be honest with you. The responses from the Cowboy fans are hilarious. They're not like poking fun. They're just like, "Yeah, welcome to our world." And then one guy even wrote, "This guy needs to be on ESPN." So Chris, hats off to you, man. That was one of the best I've seen. And I still watch it and I laugh. And at your expressions, at the way you pointed out, I thought it was perfectly done.
Well, thank you, man. A couple of things on that. Unfortunately, that's not the only time I've seen that. Okay? We actually saw it on a fourth down play in Chicago when they needed a touchdown. It basically was the same thing, except 5 guys out in routes. It was 4.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I even asked Daniel Jones, was there somebody, I thought maybe I missed something. Was there somebody like clearing out underneath? And Jones was just like, he answered me. He goes, "No, all 4 in the end zone."
You know, so waiting for something else.
But the funny part is, Jerry, you kind of covered it. You kind of covered it at the tail end just now of your, you know, of what you were just, your talking point is that, yeah, you know, a lot of Giants fans and nation, Giants Nation, and you goes back to your father, father, you know, people's talking about, you know, "Dad, come on, Dad, stop. It's not that easy," whatever, right? Right.
Right.
But I also caught the attention, like you just mentioned, of the Cowboys Nation.
Right.
What happened was, and Jerry, you pointed this out to me, somebody retweeted it to a Cowboys writer or something.
Yeah.
Who then picked up on it. And then all of a sudden I'm reading it.
Yeah.
The responses. And I say, whoa, wait a minute. Obviously, this isn't Giant fans, because you read the responses and they were like, "Well, we saw this for 10 years. We told you he's your problem now. Hey, it's not going to change. Get used to it," right? That's all you saw.
They were hilarious.
And it was hilarious. Yeah. And I started looking up, you know, and you see when you start hitting the profiles of these people responding, you see Dallas fan, yeah. Dallas this, that, right? I was like, holy crap, you know, not a good sign, dude. Look, I'm not here, you know. I'm not here. We're not here, Jerry. Me and you just get on people, ridicule them, point them out, say, "Oh, this guy's an idiot. Oh, this guy, get, you know, look, that's high school crap."
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's immature shit. You see too much of that crap.
Yeah.
And I said shit. You can keep it too, Jerry.
That's fine. Okay. And not dub it.
there's too much of that in this media. You know, basically a lot of people in the media are high school kids who got a little power behind the pen, and I think they're tough guys, you know, ridiculing people and all that, right?
Right.
They've never been smacked in their face in their whole life, but now they're tough guys behind a, you know, a typewriter or whatever it might be, or in this case, a laptop, right? Okay.
Right.
So the point was, Jerry, is that was sad. That was sad. And I've seen that a few times. But I said, you know what? I saw it last week, Jerry. And I said, I got to put this on. Because you know what? Years ago, dude, before they started coming out with these all 22s that everybody could watch.
Yeah.
You know, a coach might say, oh, yeah, we did this, we did that.
Right.
But nobody knew, right?
Right.
But now it's on tape.
Right.
You can't. The tape does, like the old expression, the tape doesn't lie.
Right.
And when I say something like that, you know, I look at it and you talk about creative route trees or whatever the hell they're doing. You look at that and you say, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry, Jason Garrett, the tape doesn't lie. Like, how creative is that play? And so now we talk about the Bears game, right? And I pointed it out after the Bears game, like, guys, four guys ran routes in the end zone. Know how hard it's going to be to score on that play, right?
Yeah.
And so what did I do? Just to kind of point it out to people, I hit the play up that Seattle used the other night.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
For the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's supposed to be done. You know, you can't just have four guys running curls, digs, in the end zone. Oh, in this case, you know, on this one play, five guys running, basically running curls.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
A little digs, whatever. But, you know, so it's not a good look. And you know what, Jerry? If it was like maybe it happened, you know, it happens once in a while. Okay. We got to. But when you saw the responses from the Dallas fans,
right,
saying this is what they saw for 10 years, it's not going to change. Welcome to Jason Garrett's world. Bud, I have to be honest with you. It was alarming.
Chris, the bewilderment in your voice was what did it. And it's like, we got to be better than this. And I'm just like, this is so perfect. And look, I don't want to get into it now, but you have to wonder if Jason Garrett would have been Joe Judge's choice, because you know that he was pushed by the Maras on Judge like McAdoo was pushed on Coughlin. I'm just going to say it because it's true. So I hope this gets better. We like Jason Garrett. We think he's a class act. And I'm rooting for him, but these are the things that are very alarming, like you said. So there you go.
And you look at some things, and it's not like, you know, we're averaging 370 yards a game, and we're ninth in the league in score offense, and we're averaging 23 points. Then I point something out like that, and I'd be like, oh, come on, Chris. You're acting like an idiot now. All right, it was one play. You know, but how's our offense been?
Oh, awful.
I mean, we're almost last in the league in offense.
Mm.
We're averaging a little over, you know, the game last week kicked us up to like 13 a game now, whatever it is, right? If they have had one 300-yard game of total offense, and that was last week, and it was 300 yards right on their head, okay? So you look at things like that, and you say, well, what are we doing? You know, Daniel Jones in this offense has regressed. He was better on the Shermer's offense. That's a fact.
And that's amazing, right? And maybe I'm sorry to go off on this, but now it's out there. Pat Shermer's offense, I'm not talking about the play calling because he was horrible at play calling, horrific play caller. But Pat Shermer's offense, you could argue, is more towards Daniel Jones' skill set than Jason Garrett's. And that only seems to happen to a team like the Giants.
Well, look, the numbers don't lie, Jerry.
Right.
Okay, the numbers don't lie. Daniel Jones, now, you know, he's got two touchdowns in five games.
Right.
He had 24 last year in 13 games. How many played last year, Joey?
He was out the first two were Eli, and then the Eagle game he didn't play.
13 games, right? He played?
I think he played 12 because the Miami game too, Eli won.
Right.
I think he played 12 games.
Okay, so 24 games. 24 touchdowns. This year he's lucky at the rate he's going, lucky he gets 11.
Yeah.
So, look, I know that a lot of people want to talk about offseason. Yeah, I'll give you that. But we're in week six now.
And none since week one, too.
Yeah, I mean, this offseason stuff now isn't coming into play anymore. All right? You know, you got to show some progress here. And I was just pointing out. And then I put out there, you know, I watched every one of Evan Engram's routes, what he did.
Mm.
And I'm going to say it again. Evan Ingram's not being used right in his offense.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's not being used right in his offense. Last year on the Shermer's offense, he was on pace for over 80 catches. This year, he's on pace for about 8. it seems like, okay? He's not being used right in his offense. And Garrett is not using this guy right. I know, you know, look, I know Evan can run sloppy routes at times. He could drop ball, but he's not being used right. And this all has to change starting against Washington Sunday.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question before we get to Washington. Why, and I know the answer is going to be, well, Witten's better, but why was Jason Witten so successful in Garrett's offense as opposed to Evan Engram?
Because Witten was great at finding, you know, that area in space.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm asking for like for everybody. I'm asking that question for everybody. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're two different players, Jerry. You know, Witten is a sound all around Hall of Fame tight end.
Yep.
You know, he could run a seam. He could get in space. He's great in the red zone and all
right.
that.
Right.
So Evan's a type of different type of athlete, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fair to compare Evan.
Yep.
Why was this guy, you know, because Evan's not being used right.
Right.
I'm sorry. He's not being used right. You got to use him in a different skill set. Yeah, you remember last year when he did that little seven route and he, you know, against Tampa Bay, yep. he went 75 damn yards.
Yeah, yeah. And Chris, I asked that question because I used to say when Witten was with Dallas and we couldn't cover him, I used to say, all this guy does is go out and turn around. There's nothing exotic about his routes. We couldn't cover him. So I'm like I kind of know the answer. I just kind of asked that question just for the sake of asking it because I'm sure there's people out there saying, well, then why did it work for Witten? Those routes were more suited to a guy like Witten than Evan Engram. That's the reality. And Ingram's such a good athlete. You got to get him the ball as he's moving. As my dad would say, we got to get these guys the ball as they're moving.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry, you know, look, Witten ran sound routes. He was so smart. He's a much better route runner than Evan. You know, he's still playing for the Raiders, but he's just a much better all-around sound tight end. I mean, but the point is that, okay, that was Jason's skill set. Now, how are we going to use Evan and his skill set, you know? You know, Judge likes to talk about, well, what are we doing? What can these guys do? Let's not talk about what they can't do. Well, what can they do? Well, guess what, Coach Judge?
Right.
You're not using Evan Engram right. Okay?
Right.
So, until that gets corrected, or if I'm the head coach, I'd be like, Jason, what are we doing? And even the seams, he ran four seams last week, and it's like the defense knew it. Like, they were in the cover two. There were two safety back, shell in the back, and there was no chance for it, you know? So you got to create mismatches in this league. You know, they got a couple of linebackers watching that don't really cover well. Mm. And you saw, you know, I put a play on Twitter. Sean McVay, a real sharp offensive line, he found ways. And I showed one example of his tight end getting on a linebacker.
Yeah.
How'd he do it? Okay, so you're going to line up your good tight end, General Levitt, who's really turned into an excellent tight end, right, for the Rams.
Yeah.
You're going to line them up at a slot all the time, Jerry. Well, guess what? They're going to roll over a safety.
Yeah.
They might even throw a corner, right? But guess what? So Sean McVay says, okay. And I was watching the film. I looked at the film, right?
Yeah.
So Sean McVay turned around and said, okay, you want to do that? Watch this. He put Evan in the backfield as an H. Okay. Oh, sorry about that. My phone. Sure. Right? He puts him as an H. He shoots him out. Well, now a linebacker has to pick him up. Bostic didn't realize that linebacker Bostic, who you'll see Sunday, didn't even know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
It was a play action. Everett's out in a flat now. Bostic is in no man's land. 40-yard gain.
Yeah.
But Jerry, you understand what I'm saying? This is the coaching aspect of it.
Yep. Yeah.
You can't keep just line Evan and you're gonna put him in a slot. All right, move him around.
Right.
Get him off the line and run routes, not just slot run routes.
Motion, baby. Give us some motion. Something.
Like, look, the film doesn't lie. Right. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Right. So speaking of mismatches, you also put out another tweet that got my attention at least. And you said, you know, I'm really thinking the Giants are going to get their first win this week. Like, almost like, guys, slow down. Like, the Washington, I almost said it again. The Washington football team has a very good front seven, you know, front four, and can get to the quarterback. They have a win. We don't. And our offensive line is still in shambles. I know we're favored by 3.5, but I think it's a based on history kind of a favored 3.5. Like, was we always beat Washington? Like, the Eagles should be favored by 30 against this because we never beat them. So I don't know. We can get into this, but I don't feel particularly great about this Sunday.
Oh, you shouldn't. Now, I think we should get out of this building Sunday with a win.
Yeah.
But to say, oh, yeah, we're winning this game. Oh, Redskins have lost four in a row. They're down to Kyle, you know, they're playing Kyle Allen.
Yeah.
You know, all that. Hey, I also saw this Redskin team dismantle the Eagles opening day in the second half.
Yeah.
And their defense had eight sacks and literally won that game for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, so you look at it and go, okay, well, look, you should feel like, okay, we should get a win Sunday, right? We have a very good chance. Yeah. Yeah, sure. You should feel like that.
Yep.
But if anybody's like, oh, well, we always beat the Redskins, which we do have pretty good success against them. But if you have the attitude like, well, we'll beat them. They're Kyle Allen's playing. They lost four in a row. They're in shambles. We'll take care of this Sunday. Oh, no way.
Yeah. I mean, we never beat Philly and Dallas, so I guess we have to beat the Redskins. That's kind of the attitude. But anyway.
We'll see, because, you know, this league is all about how you match up.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And the Giants' offensive line does not match up with the Redskins' defensive front.
Washington.
Washington's defensive front.
We're going to do the guys. We're going to do this like until we're totally used to it. I apologize. So that's what it is.
So they're not gonna match up with those guys up front.
Yeah.
So you got to do a lot of vertical stuff. You know, do some vertical runs. So you know what I mean. But yeah, we'll see how Garrett plays it. But you know, it's not going to be easy. This defense is getting better. They got Kendall Fuller back a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he's solidifying that secondary. And Darby's playing pretty good on the other side. You know. So these guys, look, they got active linebackers. Not sound all-around linebackers, but Bostic and Pierre-Louis they're active guys, and you're going to see that Sunday.
Yeah.
This is not going to be easy, Jerry. So, like you just said, this to feel comfortable and say, all right, we're going to get our first win Sunday, you got to be out of your mind.
Right. But at the same time, if they don't get a win here, I don't know when the Giants are winning.
They don't get a win here, man. Right? I don't, you know, it's – come on, man. You know, I mean, come on. You know what? A lot of people felt they should have beat the 49ers, including myself, when they were down to Mullins, you know, and all those injuries.
Right.
But the 49ers still showed they're better coached and better and more talent, even with a lot of their backups, right?
Yeah.
And they schooled the Giants in the second half. But that's not the case here with this team, brother.
Yeah.
This isn't the defending NFC champions coming here all banged up. This is right. The Redskins, man.
Right, right.
This is the Washington team, man. And,
oh,
you know,
God, yeah, I know.
You know, Jerry, in my opinion, I don't feel comfortable about this, but in my opinion, you got to win this game Sunday, man.
Yeah. Oh, you do. I don't have a confident feeling about it, but you're right. Like I said, if you don't win this week, when are we winning? What's the week we're going to win? I was going to ask you real quick, what do you make of Dwayne Haskins' future right now?
Oh, well, I don't think it's going to be with Washington. I'm not even sure I even trust that sick thing. He's saying he's sick. And, he's, you know, they told him, I stay home. I don't even know what's going on down there.
You know, isn't it funny? I wanted him over Jones. I admit it. But the red flag on him was that draft party where he was charging money for people to get into. And I thought, that's weird. You just wonder where his head is and if he's got a future in the NFL now. I mean, to bail on your pick like that. All right, look. Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray aside, because they had the number one pick that year and they wanted Murray, but they don't have another option right now. The Redskins, Washington, Bob Sagandor is going to murder us for this one. They don't have another option. It's Allen and Alex Smith. It's not like a prized rookies out there. You'd argue it's a downgrade, and they still went to the other quarterbacks.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot more going on there, Jerry.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
there's a lot more. So Rivera's not going to say it, but
when
they were going to look to me, it was like when Rivera sat him down, and then they were going to make him inactive.
Right.
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 Alex Smith, they were making, you know, before he came up with this, you know, he was sick, he had to stay home, whatever.
Yeah.
It was going to be Allen and then Alex Smith, and he was going to be inactive.
Yeah.
So to me, Jerry, there's a lot more going on there.
Yeah.
Look, there was flair. You know, look, like you said, that draft party, they had the hats made up, charging people. That was a major, major red flag to me, man. I was like, wow, what's going on there?
Yep.
You know, and then looking bored on the sidelines there when he wasn't playing at the beginning of last year. Gruden wasn't putting him in, and basically he was told to play him that one time, right?
Yep. Yep.
By Snyder.
Yeah.
Where Gruden did not want any part of putting Haskins in. That when you look at that, you say to yourself, well, what's going on here, right?
Right.
So there's a lot going on with Haskins. I can't give specifics.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I'm not there. Yeah.
I think signs on the wall kind of tell you like, there's a lot of stuff going on there. And his future in Washington probably – it's probably not gonna it's not gonna happen anymore. Bro.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. All right, to the Giants side. I mean, it's more unless you want to talk more about the Washington football team. Austin Mack, what do you think? Think he's gonna get any playing time this week?
Yeah, I think he is. Judge was, did a Zoom with us a little while ago.
Yeah.
The way he was talking about him, I think you're going to see him in the mix a little bit. Last time he was promoted from the practice squad, a couple games ago, he was inactive, which kind of surprised everybody. But this week, I think you're going to see him, Jerry. I think he's going to be in the mix. You're going to see him get some snaps, and we'll see what happens.
Good. They need some kind of jump-start at receiver. Like I said, Ratley's off the team. And you made a comment also that kind of a mistake that he made on the pick play where Slayton's touchdown was overturned, that's a Belichick move, right? If you make a mistake, you could lose your job over it.
Well, when you're a mediocre talent.
Right.
Right. So I kind of got the feeling that he ran a wrong route there, negating that big play, right?
Right.
And Judge was like, that's an example, Jerry. Look, that's a Belichick move. That's a Jimmy Johnson move.
Yeah.
Cowboys,
Yeah, yeah.
Where you kind of like, you're pissed off about a guy who you feel. Now, I don't know for sure this is what happened, but I'm kind of getting the feeling this is what happened, You kind of, you're pissed off about a guy who you feel maybe wasn't paying attention to detail. Right.
Right.
Ran a sloppy, whatever he did there, wrong. And then you look and say, you know what? You hate to say it because you're dealing with human beings,
Yeah.
But it's expendable. Okay, you know what? I'm going to make a point here. This is what happens, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to cut a guy who has no future on his team, who's a mediocre talent.
Right.
And now everybody else sits up just a little more upright during meetings, Jerry.
Yeah, I agree.
Look, it's an old Jimmy Johnson trick. He used to do it with the old Cowboys.
Yep.
And Belichick, we all know. Belichick's ruthless, right? We all know Belichick.
Right.
And I think Judge kind of, okay, well, watch this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, even Parcells, somebody brought it up. Parcells did it with Lionel Manuel back in 1990. He was falling asleep in team meetings, and he was a successful Giant, Lionel Manuel. He was reliable. He was, seemed like he was always open. And Fossil even did it with Bashir Livingston, right? He was when we got him, it was this kid who was going to be the kick returner. He was going to be great. And I forget what game it was. And again, another Twitter follower brought it up that those are the guy it reminds you of that. So it can be effective, especially for bubble players like that. So it's not like we're cutting Riley Dixon anytime soon because he jumped the gun on the fake field goal. This is guys who are on the bubble, and you can't, when you're on the bubble like that, and Phil McConkey said it in our interview, you can't make mistakes. You always have to feel like I'm going to get cut tomorrow. So,
well, that's the feeling I get.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And when you have a kid like Ratley, who's very expendable, right?
Yep.
You say to yourself, this is a perfect opportunity. You're pissed off at what he did, right?
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, just to make the point of everybody better be listening to every damn meeting and paying attention to every damn detail. And you'd be surprised, Jerry, when these guys are in meetings, when they break up into their group meetings, receiver room and all. And after something like that happens, you'd be surprised, dude. These guys are sitting up a little bit more, you know?
Yep. I don't
doubt it. Holy crap.
I don't doubt it.
Look, I have no problem with what Judge did. I think that's what happened. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's what happened.
No, I think as a fan, you welcome stuff like that. It's holding people accountable.
Jerry, I have no problem if that was the case. Of course, we'll never find that out. Judge will never say that, but I have no problem with it, Jerry.
Yep. All right, guys, it is summertime, and at MyBookie, it's the fall. This script has to be changed. Guys, it's the fall, and at MyBookie, that can only mean one thing, winning season. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, super contests, Survivor, and more. At MyBookie, winning season is all about your chance to win big. Bet Major League Baseball playoffs, UFC, and then some. The craziest sports fall of your lifetime is here. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Invest in your intuition. Select from hundreds of futures bets, or you can bet games in real time with MyBookie's live betting. Put that big brain of yours to good use. Use promo code GIANT and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Thousands of cross-sport wagers, props, and parlays await. Sign up now to bet with the best and celebrate your victory. Your winning season begins today, guys. Only at MyBookie, promo code GIANT. Before we get to the ass-kicking session of the podcast, is there anything else you want to talk about with the Redskins? I mean, I look at their offense with these quarterbacks, and I just think, I mean, I don't know. Our defense, this should play into the hands of our defense, I would think. But I just have no faith in our offense, man. I don't know, dude. I see like a 10-7 game. I don't know. I don't know what the that's where I'm at.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I don't, maybe kick it up a little bit more.
Yeah, I know.
Look, would a 10-7 game shock me? No, it wouldn't, Jerry.
I know.
Because you know their defense is pretty decent. They're in the middle of the pack, D, which is getting, you know, who are getting a little bit better.
Right.
And the Giants' offense has shown nothing. Now, I think our defense should, right, really play well. They have really one weapon, dude.
Right.
You know, and Terry McLaurin is really the only weapon they have. And they, look, they do put him in the slot.
Yeah.
A lot. And I expect that, you know, against the Giants, too. Especially after the way CeeDee Lamb, you know, I'm not comparing the two, but the way CeeDee Lamb just hurt him, you know, from the slot. So I expect that. But Kyle Allen, he's going to use his legs a lot. So you got to be careful of that. You know, look, they're running back, the third round pick. They like him, but you know, they're averaging, I think, 3-something in a carry. I think the 31st, maybe even 32nd rank rushing, you know, as far as yards per carry. And not much there, Jerry. Defense should take advantage of this. Defense should be all over this offensive line. The Rams were all over them. Now, mind you, I know they have the best defensive lineman on the planet, you know, but the Giants' defensive line should control this offensive line up front.
Yeah, I would think our defensive line is the best part of our team. I don't think there's denying that. Like, that's the – I mean, I would make that argument every day. Like, Lawrence, Leonard Williams, Tomlinson, I think that's our best unit, I would say.
Yeah, you know. So we should do some things up front. And can't let Allen, you know, get out of there with his legs and hurt you, you know, moving his sticks and all that.
All right, dude. Here we go. I'm down a game from last week. The Atlanta Falcons. And again, I picked them at home. Of course, they lost. So I'm down 6 on the season. 1:00. Bears at Panthers. Go ahead.
You know what? I'm gonna go. I love the way Carolina's playing. I'm gonna go with Carolina.
The Bears are 4-1. The great Nick Foles is leading them. I'm gonna go with my boy Nick Foles.
Okay.
That's an okay, like, wow, I just gained another game.
No.
All right. Okay, sweet, 7.
I was an okay, like, good. Yep.
Bengals at Colts. We'll both go Colts on that one, right? You're not going to?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a good one, but Baker Mayfield may not play. Browns at Steelers. I'm so rooting for the Browns in this one. Like, that's a rivalry that's been so one-sided for, like, I don't know, 50 years, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got to go with the Steelers at home, especially with Mayfield not sure if he's playing.
Really? He is questionable, Jerry?
I read that today.
I know he got banged up. I wasn't sure he was – okay, wow.
That's what I read today.
You know what? I'll go with Pittsburgh. Even if Mayfield plays, I like Pittsburgh still.
Okay. Lions at Jaguars. I will go first.
Here's your boys.
They're both 1-3. I'm going with my boys, the Jaguars. Everybody bet heavy on the Lions with my bookie. Promo code GIANT.
You know what? I'm going to go with you this week. I'm going to go with the Jaguars still.
Nice. There we go. Texans at Titans. I would imagine we both go Titans on that one.
Yes, Titans.
Yeah. Mike Vrabel. Huh? My God.
What? They whipped up on Buffalo the other night. That was.
Oh,
that
was... the Josh Norman, huh? Woo!
Launched.
Oh, here's a good one. Falcons at Vikings.
Look, Minnesota lost it real tough. Man, they should have won that game. Yeah. I'll go with Minnesota at home.
Yeah, it's not a bad 1-3. I'm going to go with Minnesota as well. Ooh, here's a good one. Ravens at Philly. I'm going with the Ravens.
Me too, brother.
Nice. Broncos at Patriots.
New England.
Yeah, me too. Jets at Dolphins. Dolphins aren't nearly as bad as the Jets. I'll go Dolphins.
Yeah, me too. How could you go with the Jets?
They may not win a game for real. I mean, I know we say that like, oh, they're going to go 0-16. No, they really may go 0-6. Did you see the back page of the Post? The 96 Jets are like talking trash.
That's embarrassing, huh?
Oh, that's terrible. The Rich Kotite Jets are talking trash to the 2020 Adam Gase version. How does that guy still have a job? Anyway, it's not my problem. Packers at Buccaneers, 425. That's a good one. I'm going to go with the Pack.
Go ahead. Who are you going with?
Packers.
You know what? I like the. You know what, Jerry? I'm going to go against you. I'm going to go with. I think Tampa wins that one at home.
It's a close. It's a tight one, but I'm going to go. Ever since you said it, man, Aaron Rodgers on a mission. So,
yeah,
I agree with you. 8 o'clock Sunday night, Rams at 49ers.
Oh man, the 49ers got, you know, they got smoked last week, man.
Yeah.
By Miami. Garoppolo gets yanked at halftime. He didn't look good.
That's crazy.
I like the way the Rams are playing. I'll go with the Rams.
Yeah, me too. Just because the 49ers seem like they're in shambles right now. Unless they played us, then they look like a Super Bowl team.
Well, they've only beaten the Jets and Giants.
Yeah, good point. Oh, my God. Monday night, Chiefs at Bills. Wow, we did not see the Chiefs losing last week, did we? Raiders.
Oh, no,
good
no,
for the Raiders,
I did
not, man. Good
I did
game.
Not, and I don't see them losing two in a row. I'll go with KC.
It's in Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
but it's not cold enough yet for me to take the Bills. I like Josh Allen, too. I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. And Cardinals at Cowboys.
Mm.
After seeing the Cowboys last week, I'm going to go with the Cardinals easily.
You know what? A little too much Hawkins than that one. I'm going to go with Arizona, too.
No, we're not too different this week, so this is really going to tell if I stink at this. All right, last but not least, the Washington football team at New York Football Giants. Who do you have?
All right, I'm not, like we just talked about, not real confident, but I'm going to go with the Giants.
Hey, you know what?
They got to win this one, huh?
I'm going with the football team.
You're going with Washington?
Yeah, because until, like we said, it, until the Giants win, I'm not taking them. You got to show me something, guys. You can't be, you know, Lucy and I'm Charlie Brown and you pull the ball out every time. So I'm going to go with the Washington football team. Sorry, guys. I know everyone's going to get mad about that. But, you know, I'm still rooting.
Just, well, you're right. Didn't you go with San Francisco a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, since
you were right about that. So
since the Bears game, right? Since right that game, that. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done picking them. So somehow we're 3.5 point favorites. All right. Question time. There's a good question from the Mecca of NYG. Great work as always. Even though you are reporting and analyzing the team, always feels like you're still fans living and dying with us. You got that right, Mecca. That said, Chris, how do you keep a professional demeanor in the press box when you see buffoonish plays and bad coaching? I know I couldn't. I'll let you answer this, but I would imagine Twitter helps you, no? With some venting or no?
Well,
I mean, you're a professional, Chris, but I'm just saying, like, the fact that you can take the Twitter quickly and be like, I don't know what the hell that guy was doing on that play.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. No, listen, you can't act like that up in a media booth. Yeah. That's just all part of the thing, you know? You can't.
Yep.
You know, you can't sit in a media booth and start yelling and screaming. You'll be escorted out of the media booth.
Yeah, unless you're the Eagles, then you can cheer. That was a shocker to me.
I've heard that too before.
Those media lunatics. They
were like, a couple of times they're like, yeah, yes, Ross.
That was my first game. Ken Palmer let me go for him in 2013. I think the Giants were 0-4. That's when they had Foles the first time. And he's like, you know, listen, you cannot wear Giants. You have to be professional. And he's telling me, like, okay, all right, I get it. And because he knows I'm an idiot, a buffoon. And I get there, and the Eagle fans are cheering. The Eagle media is cheering, like Dave Spadaro and all those maniacs. So I get back. I'm like, Ken, what the hell was that? The Eagle guys are cheering. He's, oh, yeah, they're very unprofessional. I was like, oh, okay, thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. So I had to sit there the whole time and deal with that crap. Chris at 56GMan64, with the season looking to be another washout, which Giants could you, and I'm going to ask this once, guys, because there's a lot of you asking this. Which Giants could you see being dealt at the trade deadline to clear cap space or gather draft picks?
Which Giants could see being dealt at, I don't know. To clear cap space? Well, Evan Ingram doesn't make a lot of money, so.
Well, he said draft picks too. So,
yeah, I don't know. I guess if you know, Evan's name bounced around this time last year, you know. So, I guess if anything, you could look at him again. You know,
yeah,
that's all I could think of.
Yeah, I would say Ingram. Maybe if they can try and get rid of like Golden Tate, but I don't think they're gonna get it. I don't think they're gonna get anything for him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if the Giants have to offer anybody. It's sad.
I could maybe see that too. Maybe a Tate, you know, pop it up.
in talks, but haven't heard anything yet. When is it? A couple weeks away, so.
What do we have to offer?
Yeah, if anything, I guess, you know, I guess the Evan rumors, let's see if that kicks up again, and Golden Tate, yeah.
Yeah. Tony Thomas, how much is it just new coaching and coaching staff and players or no preseason? Hang on, let me gather these thoughts. How much is it bad personnel? How much is an early stage of rebuild? Basically, why are they playing so poorly? Is it no offseason, personnel, coaching? Thanks for your wonderful work and stay safe. Thanks, Tony. It's everything. It's like, it's everything. We talk about it all the time. It's personnel. Chris gives you video showing you that the coaching could be a little better in some aspects. Also shows you what they do well, but you see it there, right? It's everything. It's not just one thing. Otherwise, it'd probably be fixed by now.
Yeah, we've talked about it. You know, it's everything, man. They need an upgrade in talent. Offensive line's still not good. Jones has regressed a bit, right?
Yep.
Coaching comes into play. Execution, big mistakes at key times. All that roll into one, and you're 0-5.
Yep. Chris, you just got a direct message. You might want to check that. Judgment Day. What are the odds when Gettleman retires at the end of the year, we promote Kevin Abrams? Well, Judgment Day, I wrote an article about it in the last Giant Insider. It's exactly what I think is going to happen. So there you go. You can read it. It's www.thegiantinsider.com. Go to Magster. You hear the whole spiel at the end. You can subscribe and read that. So that's exactly my what I think is going to be the doomsday scenario, my friend. And I'm going to ask this one because a lot of people are asking it. I'm just going to ask it one time. Sal New York, who's a loyal listener, always asks questions. We know the Giants don't like to fire people midseason, but with two teams having already fired a GM, wouldn't it be in the best interest to cut ties now? Hashtag buffoon crew. No matter what, Sal, I just don't think that's going to happen. Would it be best? Listen, man, I think you know our beliefs on this, but I don't see it happening. So that's that.
What, for Gettleman to get?
Yeah, midseason.
Once now? No, yeah. No, that's not happening.
Nope. SFL Steven, I loved your guests on the podcast. Thank you, man. Can you get one of our former offensive linemen on to discuss more granular issues? Would love the opinion of D'Lo, Harris, Soibert, or even one from the Parcells days. Yeah, we'll do our best. That's an offseason thing. That's what we decided.
Sure. Well, so. Yeah. And you know what, Jerry?
Yeah.
Considering how much Thomas has struggled and the offensive line has struggled, that might not be a bad idea to do it midseason now, you know?
Yeah, right.
So we'll work on that, folks. We'll try to get one of those guys. Okay? We'll work on it. We'll try.
There you go. Good question from Old School Giants. In what areas, if any, has Jones improved since last year? Hashtag buffoon crew.
Crickets.
I think I have one. I think he's rolling out a little more when pressure comes. All right, that's all I got. I almost choked.
Okay.
Maybe you could do film on that, Chris.
Other than that, I don't really see much right now.
Yeah, when the defenders are bearing down on him and ready to kill him, he runs really fast away.
Okay, can I say something? Honestly, you know, he's improving the last few weeks, getting two hands on a ball.
Yeah.
In the pocket. He is. Even though he had two hands on it last week, and yeah. Lawrence still stripped him.
Right.
But you see he's making a conscious effort now, Jerry, to have two hands on the ball. So he's improving there. You see it, folks. Trust me. I know he fumbled last week and returned for a touchdown and all that, but he has improved in that. I believe he's improved when he's run out of the pocket, too, sliding a little bit more. He's not looking to stretch forward to get to the sticks where he, you know, a couple of times he lost the ball last year and all that. So other than that, I'm sorry. I just don't really see it right now.
Me neither. All right. Rich Redmond at Rich_Redmond33. Do you think Jones being drafted where he was and its unpopularity along with Gettleman's unpopularity is a major factor that the fan base's lack of patience and willingness to tank for Trevor? I think it's everything, Rich. I think, you know, for the generation, for the millennials and the Generation Z, it's the Odell Beckham trade. And especially that he's doing well in Cleveland. They're not over it. Not going to get over it anytime soon. They want to get him gone since that happened. For the older people, Gen X and older, I'll say it's just the fact that they haven't won in so long, and we're putting our faith in this, and we're saying, all right, run it how you want, and it's not working. So it's, again, sorry to say, it's everything. That's it, right? I mean, Chris, I don't know. Am I oversimplifying it?
No, listen, that's about it, man.
Yeah, sorry.
You know, yeah. That's about it.
A few more.
Fans don't want to hear this progress stuff, dude. You know,
right?
There's too much losing going on, man.
Yep.
You gotta start. I understand being, and there's some positive signs being in these games at the end, the bowling hand, but you gotta start getting some W's too. You know.
Yep.
You know so.
Scott Hubley at Scott Hubley 1. Jerry, do you have any lucky rituals or articles of clothing you wear during the games? I'm willing to burn my lucky Eli shirt if you burn yours. Maybe a mass burning will change the tide. I'm at my wit's end. Maybe buy a prayer candle. Scott, you know what, man? You know what's sad? I used to. But now that we lose all the time, I don't have anything. I used to wear the same clothes that I wore the last week. Or, I mean, I would move. We used to have people over all the time. We don't now because of COVID. And it's just a depressing time to get together with the Giants at 0-5. But we used to have people here every week. And I would move people around in their seats. I'd say, get up, move, go over there, change, get on the bar stool, get on the off the couch, get in a stadium seat. Like, I was a lunatic. I was moving people around. I was sending people upstairs. So I used to, but I don't now because nothing works.
Because they're 12-41?
Right. Why would I make anything miserable for anybody who's watching? Sit where you want. I don't care. And I like that, the candle shot. That's pretty funny. Jeff Muller, is it pert or pert? We need to settle this once and for all. I think it's pert.
I think it's Matt Pert.
There you go. So we disagree on that too.
Yeah, I think it's whatever. I just found out the other guy from Russia, the guy that just died. Well, yeah.
Neil Pert.
Neil Pert. I didn't know he pronounced it like that. I always said it pert.
Oh, that's so funny. How can we turn this season around? Colleen, 1959. Nah, it's going to take a lot more than one podcast. I want to go to Oscar Nieves because he's breaking my balls about not asking his question.
Jerry,
yeah.
I got to ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Before we get into the next question.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Gates.
Mm.
What do you think about, you know, their move, putting him, making him a center and 5 games in and the future?
I think he's gotten better. But I got to admit, I just think it was lazy. I think it was a lazy thing to do. Like, I thought they should have invested in that position. And I know Tyler Biadasz last week with the fumble with Andy Dalton. It's getting better.
But
what's that?
I thought that was Dalton.
Yeah, I know. Me too. But everybody's like, oh, Biadasz, there he is. I don't know, Chris. I don't like it still. Gates was fine at right tackle. That's the funny part. Like, he played last year at right tackle. Like, wow, maybe we have our right tackle. And then we move him to center and bring in Fleming, who's okay now, but he is what he is. He's a journeyman right tackle. It's like, why didn't we just leave him there and get a center? So that's my thought still. What do you think?
Yeah. Listen, why I ask you this, because a lot of people ask me on the side, like, hey, Chris, how much longer you go with him? You know, I mean, he's struggling a bit and this and that. Do you move him out of there, you know? And look, I think he's gotten better. No question about it, Jerry. But he's still, it's a learning process here. And it cost them doing games. And I pointed it out a few times, not to get on Nick, hey, this guy stinks. I'm not saying that, trust me, you know. But you see it during the course of games, you know, he's still making mistakes, you know.
Right.
And you look at it and go, well, there was some guys that was still there, you know, in the third round, fourth round and all that. Was it a mistake? And I don't know, maybe, I guess it's still a bit early, but a lot of people ask you, how much longer do you go with? Do you move them out of there?
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, it's too early yet. I still think it's a little too early. Let them keep playing it.
Yeah.
And see what happens. But that's going to be evaluated, Jerry, at the end of the season. It's going to be like, okay, why did you guys do that? You know, if he continues to play, and he's just playing all right, you know,
right.
He's gotten better. Don't get me wrong. He's gotten better, you know, but we'll have to see how that plays out. Because a lot of Giant fans ask that. Well, what do you think about that move? Right.
Right.
Do you think it was worth that move? Do you think he stays there? Right.
11 games left. We'll see how it plays out a little bit more. I was curious to get your take on that, Jerry.
Yeah, because it's different than moving like from guard to tackle or tackle to guard. It just, that seems like an easier transition. Like moving him to center was just weird, especially when he was a pretty good, in his limited time, right tackle. I don't know. Whatever. We'll see where it goes. Here we go. Oscar Nieves. If you were to compare this Giants team to a car, which car would it be? Hashtag ask my question, Jerry. You skipped me twice. Oscar, I do have to try and get to other people, but thank you. You always ask good questions. If I could compare it to a car, you know, I would even, like, my first car was an 85 Chevy Celebrity. It was maroon. Oh, it was a babe magnet, Chris. But that car got me places, so I can't even compare it to that. If this was a team, it breaks down in your driveway. So whatever car you have that you can't get going.
Or a car that breaks down at a key moment, like on a highway at a 20-degree night.
right. And not like even that, like a, you know? Yeah, right, exactly.
Not that cars really do that anymore, like when I was a kid. Like, they would break it down all the time, but I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, I can't get my, somebody responded Pinto. That's pretty funny. All right, let's go one more. Why aren't we playing Dylan, Mac, and Victor? Well, we are playing Mac this week. Oh, here we go. Perfect question for you. For you, Chris. I'm going to let you go with this one. Rio Kasun. Should the Giants have drafted Claypool in the second round, seeing how decimated our wide receiver depth was, instead of McKinney? Thanks for taking my question. Hashtag buffoon crew. You are on the clock, Chris.
That was your... Give me a question again, Jerry.
Should we have taken Claypool instead of taking Xavier McKinney, being that our wide receiver depth is what it is?
Yeah, I tell you what, man. That's something I would have definitely considered. I probably would have did that. Yeah, I probably would have did that.
All right, there you go.
What about you?
Yes, that's an easy one.
How would Claypool look with Slayton for the next few years?
Pretty good.
And Shep in a slot.
Not bad. Nothing against McKinney. We haven't seen him play yet. I mean, Chris saw him practice and said he's very good. But, you know, the defense is not the problem on this team now, guys. So I would have, hindsight being 2020, Claypool would have been the guy. All right, buddy. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's it.
Maybe have an announcement later? What do you think?
Oh, no? Tomorrow maybe or something. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
All right, man. Cool. All right, everybody. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. Go to magster.com for a digital subscription, M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. And download the Giant Insider app from the App Store. All right, guys. Hopefully we get our first one Sunday. Remember, Sundays are Giant Days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.